Good afternoon. All right, Exodus chapter 18. Exodus is about God's power leading his people through the wilderness. And now in Exodus chapter 18, and we see now a need for leadership, a need for Moses to train and to have other leaders with him who are able to help with the work that God had called him to do through this journey. So it's leaders through the journey. Lead us through the journey. Let's read together and we'll pray. And Jethro, priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back with her two sons, of whose the name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was encamped at the Mount of God. Now he had said to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down, kissed him, and they asked each other about their well-being, and they went into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship they had come upon, rather that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and other sacrifices to offer to God. And Aaron came with the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Let's pray together as we begin. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you so much for leading us every step of the way as we follow you, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us every sufficiency we need, oh God. Thank you so much for your word that instructs us. And Lord, we sit under you, oh God, to be taught, to be instructed, oh God, in all righteousness. Lord, we sit under your word, under the authority and the power of your word, to be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is a story of Moses and his father-in-law and his wife and his children coming together again after a very long time. Looks like Moses sent them away during the plagues in Egypt. And now they're coming to meet him. His father-in-law tells him, I'm coming to meet you. And I'm with Zipporah and your two children, Eliezer and Gershom. He meets them. They hug. They greet. They tell each other everybody's affairs. They eat. And he offers a sacrifice to the Lord. He worships. So Midian and the descendants of Midian were actually relatives of the Israelites. They were children of Keturah through Abraham. We saw last week how the other descendants of Abraham were hostile towards the Israelites. However, the Midianites were friendly. And one of them is here, Jethro, who happens to be Moses' father-in-law, and he's a priest. He's a leader. This must have been a very exciting reunion after all that God had done, after God had plagued the Egyptians and dried the Red Sea and given them breakfast and given them lunch and given them water to drink. And Moses narrates all of this to his father-in-law. And there was rejoicing. He says, blessed be the Lord God. There's no greater than him. He has plagued the Egyptians. He has freed his people. He has brought you this far. I mean, look at 2 million people or more traveling through the desert, and they are on their way home. They are completely free from slavery. And they gather, talk about all those. They even shared about their difficulties. The difficulties that they faced with the Egyptians pursuing them. The difficulties with the lack of water and the lack of food in the wilderness. The difficulties with the enemies, Amalek attacking them and having to fight. And in all, Jethro says, God is great. He's greater than all the other idols. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the rest of the chapter is a result of what Jethro observes. Look at verse 13 onwards. And so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning till evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people came to me to inquire of God. And when they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. Listen to me now. I'll give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you may bring the difficulties to God. And you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge themselves. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure. All these people will also go to their place in peace." So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. Moses chose the men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. So they judged the people at all times. They had cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way to his own land. Praise the Lord, Moses had a godly father-in-law. Tell you what, if you have ungodly in-laws, you are in trouble. Would you agree? Well, for the married. So the first lesson is, you people who are not yet married, please, you need to marry from a godly heritage. Amen? You need to marry such that you have a father-in-law who can give you godly advice. Anyway, that is a side note. But the good thing about, you know, this story is that Moses gets insight on how to manage people. So it looks like Jethro had a history in human resource management, or at least public administration. Moses only understood leadership. So you can imagine helping to judge over 2 million people. The one who fought with his wife come to you and they make a queue. And the one who stole the other soccer ball comes and queues. And the one who stole the neighbor's food comes and queues. And you have people standing all day in a queue waiting to talk to Moses. And his father-in-law say to him, "Look here, what you're doing is not good. It's good that you're giving them attention and you're giving them justice, but it's not good that you're doing it alone. You need a leadership structure through this journey. Otherwise, you will wear yourselves out. The people are going to be worn out waiting to talk to you, and you will be worn out talking to them all day without rest. So you need to structure your leadership in such a way that there are those who watch over thousands, there are those who watch over 50s, there are those who watch over 10s. Break it down. Make an organizational chart so that you only attend to the complex matters. The simple matters, they should be able to handle. Now, the thing is that there's always a need for leaders around us. There's always a need for leaders all across the world. God is always looking for leaders, and even this world is always looking for leaders. We've never had enough leaders on this earth. Moses, this journey requires you to break down a structure that is not going to wear you out, neither the people out, but both of you will effectively and efficiently serve one another. Moses is like, wow, that's a good idea. You know, I'm just a shepherd, so I understand sheep. I'm glad you gave me that input. Now I can manage people. And this is what you need to do, Moses. Look for men who are able to do the work. It's one thing to find men who can work. It's another to find men who can do the work, especially following these qualities. Delegate. Do not abandon. Trust others to work with you. Build a team of leaders and focus on important matters. And this is how you're going to do it. When you get those men, teach them the statutes and the laws. Show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. It is better, one person said, to set 100 men to work than to do the work of 100 men. So Moses, let's say, was a micromanager. He wants to attend to 2 million people. He obviously can't. Any micromanagers in the house? You want to pay attention to every detail in your organization, including standing at the gate to make sure everybody's early. I was told of a micromanager on his wedding. He was the one serving drinks. He wanted to make sure the right number of sodas are served. He could not trust anyone, so he was there serving the drinks himself. Imagine leaving your bride at the table and then going to serve drinks. But some people are actually like that. And some maybe ignorantly like Moses, but I think some people are just intentionally micromanagers, and it's very frustrating because they don't do what they're supposed to do. They're trying to do what other people are supposed to do, and it really doesn't work. So set men to work with you. Build a team of leaders. And we know that in our own country, leadership is an issue. We need leaders all over the place. And in places that have leaders, you realize that some are performing and others are not. Or at least, we have a big micromanager, right? You know, he's launching Boda Boda groups and furniture groups, and then he has to attend to affairs in State House, you know? And you know, it's not working very well, is it? And maybe the people behind him are trying to fix things, you know, and anyway, it's a broken system. But, you know, the need for leaders is a constant call. And I pray that as we study this, not only would we be challenged to take on those leadership positions that God has called us to serve in, but also to be training other leaders to serve with us and to serve after us. So let's say Moses was thinking, I'm the president of these people, and I'm going to sit here until I'm rolled in and rolled out of a wheelchair. In fact, when I'm out of time and I'm going to work extra time, well, if I'm out of years, I'm going to ask an extension of my term of service or something like that. But it wasn't going to work. It was still going to come to a dead end. He needed to build a leadership team that is going to work with him and actually work way beyond him. We saw last week how one of his key leaders is Joshua. He's a warrior. He's a fighter. He needed somebody to fight. He cannot be a judge and at the same time at the front lines with a gun or with a sword, with a spear. And this is how we're supposed to raise the leaders, through teaching. Teach them the laws. Teach them the statutes of the Lord. That's the first way we are trained as leaders. And that is the first way we should train other leaders. We need to teach men the statutes and the laws. And some of you are thinking, you know, Pastor, I'm not even a leader. That's not true. All of us are leaders. All of us have some form of leadership responsibility, and not just us, but amidst and among other people. We could be under somebody and others under us, or we could be the last person, the first person, but we are all called to lead, basically to take responsibility of the things that God has given us. You could be leading sheep, you could be leading ducks, you could be leading a family, you could be leading a company, an organization, a ministry, a business. You could be just an employee, but you're still a leader. When somebody gives you a job, they're requiring of you responsibility. They're requiring you to have good stewardship over the time that you have and over the resources that you're supposed to manage. So Moses, teach. Teach people. If we are going to build a generation and a continuous generation of leaders, we have to teach. Even if you're not so good at teaching, there's no way you can dodge around passing on information to the next generation and that generation to the next. And the teaching we're talking about here, beyond the skills that we need to teach and the skills that we have, we need to teach the statutes and the laws of God. We need to teach the Bible. We need to show them the way they should go, the way they must walk. If I give you this job, if I give you this responsibility, if I give you this resource to manage, we need to show how those resources should be managed. In so many parables, Jesus would teach stewardship, giving resources to servants and requiring accountability from them. So for Moses and for us to effectively delegate, the word of God had to be taught. And Moses was going to stand before God and receive instructions and pass it on to people who would then pass it on to others. You know, that is how the Bible came to be in the earlier days before writing came to place. Genesis was passed on through a story by Adam to his children and to his grandchildren, who passed it on to Noah, who passed it on to everybody until Moses was able to write these things. Let me ask this. From all that you've learned here, from all that you've learned in the Word of God, are you able to pass it on? Or do you need a refresher course? So let's say I chose one of you to come and teach next Sunday. And all you have to do is repeat my sermon from this week. Would you be able to do that? Just teach the things that I taught. Have you caught it enough to actually pass it on? Because that is required of us. There are people who may not come to church and they're going to depend on you for teaching. There are those that didn't come to church today and they're going to ask you, so what did you learn today? Will you send them to me? Or will you give them a recording? Would you turn to scriptures and be able to teach the principles that God is teaching us and the principles that we are learning? Teaching is the most effective way of building leaders. The ways of teaching can be a completely different, discussion altogether, but no doubt the word that we learn must be passed on. Imagine all the wisdom, all the skill that you have does not go to somebody else. Just imagine the experience that you have, the expertise that you have is not passed on to anybody else. And literally your wisdom or knowledge stops with you. Not even your children get to hear it. And we know that with especially the Israeli community, they value teaching so much that the first thing a child in a Jewish home knew was what the parents knew. If the parents were good cooks, the children automatically learned how to cook well. If they were carpenters, you remember Jesus was a carpenter because Joseph was a carpenter. Before you learn anything else, you learn from your parents the things that they know. And it's a good way to train leaders. If anything else does not happen, at least you taught them what you know and they're able to learn more and carry it on. And before the kids learn something of their own interest, they must learn from us. And sometimes all of us can testify that our parents maybe weren't a very good example. You probably didn't even know what they did in life, right? Or at least you hated it because it wasn't something that what was of your interest. But that's exactly how Jesus trained his followers. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is leaving. He has been training, teaching men and women for 3 years. These men and women are supposed to actually conquer the whole world with the gospel. And how possible is that going to happen? Go therefore and make disciples. Literally, go therefore and teach. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that's why we're here as Calvary Chapel Kampala, and we give much emphasis to teaching. It's the only way that we Christians will be equipped enough to equip others. There's no way around it. Imagine me pastoring this church for the next few decades, and when I'm too old to even come here and stand to preach, there's no preacher because I did not teach anyone God's word. And you have to roll me in and roll me out. And if I can't make it, you have to play a recorded sermon from me like this. There's no teacher. Sorry, we have to play his sermon from last week. It would completely be a failure on our part, obviously on my part as a leader, but maybe on your part because you didn't step up to lead when the opportunity was available. Imagine these few men, just about the size of this room, the number of people in this room, would have learned enough from the Lord to take the gospel literally everywhere. There's only one way it happened: teaching. Teach, teach, and teach. Show them the way in which they must walk and the work they must do. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, we are told that, and he himself gave to some apostles. Jesus himself was a good public administrator and human resource manager. Look, to some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for what? For equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. This nation is going to literally be built through the ministry of the word. And we're going to see from this point on, God is going to sit Moses down. He's going to sit people down the mountain. And it's going to be a place of learning. Before they move one step from where they are now, they have to be taught a lot. We're going to see the Ten Commandments coming and so many other breakdowns of the Ten Commandments practically before they take one more step. Imagine God holding you in class and he says, you're not going to move a single step out of this place until you've learned this much. Imagine walking with the Lord and he says, I'm not going to send you out and I'm not going to leave you until you've learned these principles. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to do it. Who will be able to teach others. Tell you what, we need teachers in Sunday school. We need teachers for the youth. We need teachers for the different fellowship groups. And you are out there not showing up. Is any of you not hearing the word enough not to teach it? Can I have an answer? You know, Moses is looking for you. God is looking for you. We are looking for you. Leaders to help build the church of God. The body of Christ is constantly in need of leaders. I attended the Bible college here, and we have this alumni group on Facebook. And you should know how many churches all across the world are advertising. And you know what they're looking for? They're looking for pastors and youth workers and children's workers. Is there any pastor I can hook you up, right? Anybody wants to pastor a church? Anybody wants to be a youth worker? And every day, God, Moses, us, everywhere around the world, leaders are being sought after. And you're right here, aren't you? You're right here. And God wants to position us and all of us in places of valuable service to Him. It could be in the wilderness with Moses. It could be in Jerusalem. It could be just about anywhere. And I hope that as you receive this word, as you study the Bible, that you learn and get grips to every lesson enough to be able to teach it. You have a warning right now that God is going to call all of us to teach His word. Don't say I didn't warn you, right? So if you really don't want to teach, you can walk out right now because you won't be responsible for the information that you received. But as long as you are a student of the word, as long as you're reading your Bible, as long as you're reading the laws and the commandments of the Lord, you are going to be required to teach it. Amen? Will you take that responsibility seriously? So should I take you down to Sunday school next week, right? Should I choose some of you and take them and take you down so you can teach the kids? But that's when you're going to completely not show up, not come to church because you have a teaching responsibility. Teach them, and this is what you're going to look for as you place these men in these positions, men who are able. He's looking for ability. Men who fear God. He's looking for godly men. Men of truth. Men who love the word of God and speak the truth. And lastly, men who hate covetousness. Men of integrity. Have you ever looked through a job application and this is what they're looking for? But you know that this is what, either directly or indirectly, every employer is looking for. Is any employer looking for a thief? Like, you know what, apart from your skill, are we looking actually for a thief? Who looks for a thief? Who looks for anybody who is dishonest? Who looks for somebody who is deceptive? None of us is looking for anybody who lacks integrity. Moses, these are the qualities of men you should place in position as judges. These are going to be administrators of justice. Do they fear the Lord? The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. There are so many intelligent people in this world. Do you agree? But a lot of them are not wise. Not so many of them fear the Lord. There is so much invention, there's so much progress in technology, there's so much knowledge in this world. If you set yourself out to look for knowledge in just one field, you will be amazed at how deep it can get, even if it's as easy as training leaders. If you look into human resource management, you'll be amazed at how deep there is knowledge in there. How to manage people in almost any setting. You can master it and be a professor in human resource management, and you won't even learn enough at that time. But are there enough people, men and women, who are actually wise? There's a difference between being intelligent, knowing stuff, and being wise, knowing what to do and how to do it. And that was the task that Moses had. You find the men, you show them the way they should walk and the work they should do. If he got men and showed them the way they should walk and did not show them the work they would do, it would be half done, not complete. If he got the men to work and did not tell them how to work, no job. He had to do both. In Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2, he says in his record, now it came to pass when the wall was built and I sat there and set up the doors, the gatekeepers, the singers, the Levites, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. This guy oversees the reconstruction of Jerusalem, God's city. The walls are up. The city is fortified. He's looking for men to manage it because he has to go back to Persia and work. He has to report to work as was a cupbearer for the king. And he's looking for men who could manage the city. He's looking for men who are accountable, who are able to do everything as God so willed. And there are two who qualified. Hanani and Hananiah. And he said of them, they were faithful and they feared God among all. If people in this city, in this country are looking for those to employ, would we be the ones they find? Ones who have the fear of God. Beyond the skill, there are so many skilled people. But the world is not just looking for skill. They're looking for integrity too. Even men who lack integrity are looking for those with integrity. Isn't that true? I was told how that our president was looking for somebody to manage the National Identification and Registration Authority. And this guy, who he chose, had no knowledge of computers whatsoever. And he testified, I had an interview that, you know, he was in, and he said, all my boss wanted is somebody who is not going to steal his money. And then the interviewer asked him, he seems to be a very dishonest boss. He said, you know what, that's a whole other question, right? We're not going to discuss that. But at least he was very clear to me that he wanted somebody of integrity. And this was a Christian. He is a Christian. He's a soldier. He's a Christian. Even men who lack integrity are looking for those with integrity. Shall we be those who are found to be fearing God, to be in love with the truth, and to be men and women of integrity? Imagine being given the charge of managing a whole city. I'm told the same principle was applied when they're looking for the executive director of Kampala Capital City Authority. He was looking for a Christian, somebody who is not going to steal. And there they found somebody. In Psalm 12, verse 1, help, O Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear among the sons of men. The psalmist cried out, God, I'm looking for faithful men, I'm looking for godly men, and I can't find any. Can you imagine a society without godliness? What would be left of it? I mean, everybody is corrupt and everybody is dishonest and everybody is greedy and nobody fears the Lord and no one has integrity. Well, truth is, in some places it's like that. You go to some places and you honestly have to look seriously for a godly person to transact with. Everybody you talk to, you're thinking, that one, no. You finally land on somebody who actually is telling the truth and somebody who's going to help you with a clean transaction. You know, with economic pressures and with the rise of sinfulness, tell you what? The search for the godly is continuously on. God, Moses, the church, every institution is looking for godly people. In Acts chapter 6, verses 2 to 4, the apostles were looking for waiters and waitresses. It's as easy as getting food and serving others. You know what they were looking for? Therefore, brethren, Acts 6, verses 2 to 4, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We are looking for waiters and waitresses, and you have to be of good reputation. You have to have a certificate of good conduct, at least from someplace. You have to be full of the Holy Spirit, and you have to demonstrate that. So imagine going to Peter for interviews. All right, can you please demonstrate that you are of good reputation? Pull out your certificate of good conduct. Okay, you demonstrate that you are full of the Holy Spirit. What would you do? Speak in tongues? Quote some scriptures? Ah, Peter, you know I go to Calvary Chapel, Kampala. Don't you know that church? And wisdom. Now you can imagine these guys are going to serve food. Imagine a restaurant advertising and they have vacancies and they're looking for people with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. I think would all apply, right? You know why? There were so many people to serve and they didn't want people who are going to be corrupt in the process. Like, ah, I know this person live. Let me give them a lot of food. That's my cousin. And this one, I don't know him, you know, whatever. Just get a cup of water or a cup of porridge. There had to be transparency and fairness in the process of serving food. How much more integrity, wisdom, fullness of spirit do we need in other things? If we need the Holy Spirit and wisdom and a good reputation to serve food, something so simple, can any of us fail to get food from the kitchen to somebody at a table? All you need are your hands, right? And your eyes, you're like, I'm getting it from this point and I'm going right there. And maybe a smile and a uniform. But more than all that, wisdom, fullness of the Spirit, and a good reputation. And they say, you know, we need those men to serve so that we pay attention to the things that we must do, teaching the word. We need a structure such that some men are out there serving food and we are here serving the word. We need a structure that helps everybody to step up and serve in the position that God has called them. And all of us have been called to serve. When Moses is, you know, here looking for leaders, he's just going to begin training, and this leadership group would actually carry on to the days of Jesus. They were eventually called the Sanhedrin. A team of 70 leaders obviously is going to be corrupted down the road. But we have the fullness of training that we all need. God has given us His Spirit. God is continually feeding us His Word. God is continuously opening opportunities and is calling us to fulfill those positions. If somebody is looking for a Christian to employ, would someone recommend you? Would they say, you know what, I know that lady, I know that man, they are able to do the job, they fear the Lord, they love the truth, their integrity is unmatchable, but you please call him and employ him or her? Well, what if somebody is just looking not for any ability? Let's say somebody is looking to train you on the job. Would you be the one everybody recommends? Yeah, we know somebody. Well, they're not very skilled, but for sure they love the Lord. All you have to do is train them. And you know, the people looking for such people. I just want anybody. Anybody can apply for the job. We will train them. We'll train them for free. All we have to get is a man or a woman who fears the Lord. I pray that we would take this lesson seriously. Every lesson the Lord teaches us is one we should take seriously, because He is going to place us somewhere that we will need to use that lesson to fulfill that task. Moses is going to sit these leaders down, and you know they're not going to administer justice without knowing the justice of God. Imagine Moses gets these men and women and sets them in their positions, and they know the truth, but they're not willing to apply it. Nothing was going to work. The people would be back to him and say, "Moses, the people you gave us, they are just so corrupt. Please send us some more." It wasn't going to work. And they're going to be replaced. I pray that when God is looking for leaders anywhere around the world, any position, that we would qualify and excel, not just because we have some abilities that some people are looking for, but mainly because we fear the Lord. I pray that we would be those who are constantly given to equipping others. Think about the skill that you have, and I would like to challenge us all, take somebody and teach them. You may not have a school, but you may sit them down and teach them basics. Some knowledge that they can build on their own, but at least you've passed on something to them that will be useful. And Moses was told, if you do that, first of all, you are going to be relieved from unnecessary stress. Micromanagers are always stressed leaders. Moses, you will relieve yourself of so much stress. And secondly, the people will be served effectively and efficiently. You will be serving, others will be serving, everybody's going to be served. And it's going to be a smooth journey through the wilderness until you get home. The same principles are going to apply. Leaders will be required. Justice is going to be required. The fear of God, the qualifications are going to remain exactly the same. We saw in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, God is looking for the same qualities. It's not going to change. And if there's anything we should be polishing up, apart from our skill, the fear of the Lord. I guarantee you there are men and women out there looking for you. And I pray that when God puts us there, when God positions us there, when God positions you there, you will represent His purpose. You will do everything in His honor. And when you are being manipulated or threatened to disregard your integrity, you'd say, "No, I'd rather step down." This world is getting increasingly corrupted. It's one of the signs that Jesus gave as those that point to His soon return. Men will be greedy, lovers of themselves, lacking integrity, lawlessness are a character in them. But you shine for the Lord. In the middle of this corrupt and dark world, we have the privilege not only to have these qualities, but to use them in God's service. Amen? And as we pray, and as we teach, and as we commit ourselves to these principles, may God use us. May God single us out. May God position us in places that will and only will serve to honor Him. Maybe you're out there looking for a job. Tell you what, God will give you a job. The big question is, will you honor Him? Will you be a man who fears God in that job? Maybe you want to run from one to the other. Will you apply the same principles? Maybe you are an employer. Are you receiving the advice that Jethro gave to Moses? Train men the word of God. Can you imagine going to work for this corporation and the head gets you in a room and he teaches you the statutes and commands that God instructs? Some places it happens, some all they want is give me your work done and that's it. Whether you are employing or you're employed, the principles are the same. You should be able to do what you're supposed to do. You must fear the Lord. And we know how to do that. We must be people of truth. Not falsifying anything. We constantly read news across the world of this company recalling these so many cars because some either organized or disorganized engineer put in something wrong. Hundreds and hundreds of products are constantly being recalled from their consumers because of a lack of manufacturing integrity. You know how much it costs us to look for good quality products after consuming the lousy quality ones. Imagine everything on the market was one made with integrity. How nice would this world be? Like there are no fake products. Eh? So have you received Jethro's advice? Let's commit ourselves to be constantly building and trusting leaders, such that when we are old and we can't walk anymore, we have an army of young people out there working, so that we don't get stuck and we think, oh, extend my time. Give me more 2 years. I'm not yet ready. I have more vision to implement, you know. But when our time is up, we are happy to go home because we know our children and other younger people are equipped and we are sure they are going to do the job, whatever the job is. Whether it's as small as serving food or managing a city or even managing a country. May we build people of good reputation. May we fill them with the truth and with wisdom, and may God place them wherever he wants to. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for giving us your wisdom. Thank you so much for giving us a privilege to serve. And all of us in this room are called to serve through this journey. We're not just walking and going home, Lord. As we walk this journey, you have called and appointed each one of us and gifted each one of us to serve in some capacity. I pray that, Lord, as we serve you, as you position us, as you spread us out, Lord, that we would full of reverence for you, that we'd honor you among all. Lord, that we will perform our duties, our tasks, our work with your honor in mind. I pray that we may be men and women of a good reputation, Lord. Being your children, may we have the character that you have. May we be full of truth, Lord. May we constantly be in your word to receive instruction. And may we be faithful to pass it on to, Lord, to teach others your ways and the skills that we have acquired, O God. I pray that through us, Lord, another generation of warriors would be raised. Men and women of integrity, men who are zealous for you, men who honor you. I pray that, Lord, you may empower us with your Spirit, who is available every day to fulfill those tasks, O God. Lord, as we walk, as you lead, may we do everything as unto you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.